Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When it's time for a candidate to speak, his microphone will be turned on and his opponent's microphone will be turned off. Should a candidate interrupt when his microphone is muted, he will be difficult to understand for viewers at home. There is no studio audience tonight. Pre-written notes, props, or contact with campaign staff are not permitted during the debate.
All right, so we had rules. We had rules for the debate, and what did you think of the rules? We'll get into the content, of course, over the course of time. Good to be back. Thank you to John Hutchinson and Dave Merzen and Kristen Rhodes and for Bobby filling in for me while I was gone. Yeah, I know those of you who listen to Bobby in the afternoons, you might always wonder, like, what happened to Bobby? Bobby had family conflict with the time doing the afternoon show, but he is still with us. He's the program director, so he helps shape all of the program that you hear on news radio. But yeah, Bobby Rossi is still around and will occasionally fill in for me or do other things. Like, we're going to the convention together, so you'll probably hear his voice on some reports for the convention. Republican and Democrat, by the way, because it looks like we might have a Democrat convention worth covering. we'll see. Anyway, it's good to be back. So Dana Bash begins the CNN debate on Thursday with the rules about the 2 minutes and the 1 minute and the 1 minute, which actually they followed pretty well, which is nice. The only time they didn't really follow the rules exactly was when they kept having to remind Joe Biden, you've still got time, sir. You can still talk for a little bit longer if you want to. But yeah, mic's off. I thought worked. I know it's very un-Milton-esque to tell people that they can't talk. I know it's very un-Santa Rosa County-esque to tell people that they need to shut up. You know, because what we do is we just let people talk and we don't run the meeting very well. But they did. And for the most part, there was very little that was off the mic that you really wanted to hear. And it probably kept it on the rails and protected Joe Biden with the Walker rules as much as you possibly could for him. And then I'll tell you, the no audience was weird. That was weird from the start. Because did you see, like, in the very beginning, here are two guys who have been to many debates. Now, Biden has done many more debates than Trump. Obviously, Trump hasn't done a lot of debates because he hasn't been a politician. But he's certainly been around media and he's been around events. And okay, but Biden, I think, was a little more thrown off by the no audience, which meant no cheering, no jeering, no audience reaction. And it led to what I would describe as confusion at the beginning and confusion at the very end. This was the very beginning.
Now, please welcome the 46th president of the United States, Joe Biden.
Folks, how are you?
Folks, how are you? What folks? Who's he talking to?
Great to be here.
Great to be here. Where do I stand? I'm not sure what's going on here. So that was the very beginning, which was not a good harbinger. If you were looking for early indicators that Joe Biden would be sharp, amped up, properly pharmaceutically assisted, then you didn't get that at the beginning. And then at the end, did you know? I won't talk about this much because it's just kind of funny to me. Did you see all the way to the end? Did you endure all the way to the end of the debate? Because at the very end, you had an even more awkward silence than Joe Biden produced throughout the debate.
Thank you, former President Trump, President Biden. Stay with us because we have full analysis of this debate. Anderson Cooper and Aaron Burnett starts now on CNN.
And now begins 24 seconds of the most painful television production decision? They're just standing there. I'm playing it. They're standing there looking at each other, looking at Dana Bash. No audience reaction, no crowd to fill in the blank. And then the outro music goes. Surely somebody's in the control room. Press a button, man. Do something. I think what happened, here's my best theory, is CNN just forgot that there wasn't a crowd. And so when it got to the end, they're accustomed to the standard applause and glad hands, and family comes out and joins the candidates on stage. And, you know, they figured that the close would take care of itself. It did not. All right, so to the actual substance. Oh, my God, where to start? Obviously, lots we will not get to. I do have 50-ish, 60 clips. I won't get to playing them all. That's what happens. I know a lot of people have been wondering, what's Andrew going to say? What does he think about this? Okay. Can I tell you one thing that I have found interesting about the commentary since this debate? And, look, I fully understand all of the things people are... Democrats are in full panic mode, yes. They're trying to put on us, you know... put on a happy face in public. You know, everybody's saying that Joe Biden should stay, and Nancy Pelosi says, well, you know, what's the alternative? Trump, you know, Clyburn, oh, he's good, he should stay in. Everybody's, okay, fine. Yeah, that's all you can do after that abysmal performance by President Biden. You've got to either say, get him out, or predict he'll be out. You know, like, you've got people saying that. James Carville says Biden can't continue and won't be the nominee. You know, other people saying the same thing, even analysts saying that they've been talking to Democrats behind the scenes and they are acknowledging it. Rachel Bade was on GMA the Saturday morning afterwards.
Hill leaders are never going to say this on the record, okay? But they're saying it privately. They think Biden's candidacy is dead and that Trump is going to win the White House. And so there is this strategy shift going on behind the scenes right now between Hill leaders, but also big donors. They want to make sure there is a check on another Trump term. And so the focus is going to go from, you know, Biden to flipping the House for Democrats, keeping the Senate.
Which is an interesting take. You know, we can't salvage the presidency, but if we can keep the Senate and gain the House, we can put a constitutionally separation of powers based challenge to Trump, and we can keep him from running away with the whole thing and destroying democracy and life as we know it on the planet, or whatever they think happens if Trump gets reelected. So interesting. Okay. You know, we'll see. What I've found interesting is not so much that. I mean, that's obvious and that's true. Okay. Biden had such, I was stunned. I was expecting State of the Union Joe. I was expecting Joe's best. Amped up, ready to go, knew his notes, you know, capable, which is in his range, and we do see sometimes. I did not expect him to have the worst cognitive performance that I have seen from him during his presidency. I just didn't expect it. I don't think anybody expected it. Whatever the range is for him of capable to incapable, we had never seen him look this bad in public. We'd seen him look bad in public. We had never seen him look this bad in public. And that's what got Democrats rattled. That's what makes them feel betrayed. That's what's got them in panic mode. But that's not, to me, again, that's not the most interesting part. The most interesting part to me is the repeated claims. If you've watched any media in the last 4 days, you have seen essentially every talking head say, well, Trump lied 30 times. Trump lied, 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 lied. Unsure. He said things that I disagree with, and he said things that were false, and he said things that I think the media likes to classify as lies that I think there's at least room to say there's a difference of opinion on, like whether the election was stolen. Okay? I think it's false. I think there's abundant evidence that the election was basically reliable, and I don't think that there's any good basis of saying the election was stolen. But Trump has been saying it for 4 years, again and again. And part of the idea of a lie is you have to know it's false to for it to be a lie. You know, otherwise it's just an error. And does he know that it's false? Even, I mean, do you believe he just keeps telling it again and again, knowing it's false? I think he's convinced himself it's true, and which is a weird state to talk about truth claims in. But, okay. And there are other things as well where, you know, they're saying he lied. And I'm like, I don't think that's a lie. Okay, but surely he did lie. Okay, no doubt. He definitely did lie. But Joe Biden lied a lot, too. And that's, to me, the weirdest part. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but the weirdest part is that most of your commentary talking heads are not mentioning how many times he lied.
We got to take a look at what I was left when I became president and what Mr. Trump left me. We had an economy that was in free fall. The pandemic was so badly handled, Many people were dying. All he said was, it's not that serious. Just inject a little bleach into your arm. You'll be all right.
The economy under Trump was raging. It was fantastic. Unemployment was down significantly from the COVID peak of 15% down to 6%. Inflation was nothing. Unemployment, right? Right? How did you feel at the end of Trump's term? I mean, Trump lost the election in spite of the economy. You know, the old, it's the economy, stupid. In spite of that. Oh, and by the way, the inject the bleach in your arm stuff, that's a lie. He never said that. They keep repeating it. Biden said, I mean, he never said that. He raised a question about whether the successes seen against viruses regarding bleach and or in ultraviolet light that were used on exterior and surfaces, whether there might be any application of that inside the body. He never said inject your arm with any. I mean, that's just unbelievable that they keep repeating this lie. Okay, so then he goes on. So that's Joe Biden lying from the start. The
economy collapsed. There were no jobs. Unemployment rate rose to 15%. It was terrible. And so what we had to do is try to put things back together again. And that's exactly what we began to do. We created 15,000 new jobs.
Well, it's 15 million. I know you don't know numbers, Joe. Millions, trillions, billions. There's 1,000 new trillionaires in America, he said. I mean, because he can't get his basic facts straight or remember what terms mean. But it was 15% very early, like in April of 2020. It was 6% by January of 2021. So would you say it was 15% and you took over, or would you say it was down 9% from a global pandemic peak experienced, what, a year and a half prior? Not even that far prior. Not 8 months prior. I mean, Joe Biden claims that he cut the deficit. Well, he cut it from himself, from his own massive, right? Same thing here. We cut unemployment from what happened during the presidency. Now I'm want to say pregnancy. just, you know, verbal gaffes persist. So that's a lie. And then worse lies persist. Okay, they go on here. The lie about Trump and unemployment.
He's the only president other than Herbert Hoover who's lost more jobs than he had when he began, since Herbert Hoover.
You know, there was a global pandemic that shut down economies all over the world. I mean, maybe that should go into consideration. But no, he's going to keep talking about Herbert Hoover. It's a ridiculous comparison. And then
the military. You know, when he was president, they were still killing people in Afghanistan. He didn't do anything about that.
He didn't do anything about it. He set up the framework for the withdrawal that you then botched. He set up the framework for the withdrawal that Biden botched. So what do you mean he didn't do anything about it? He did quite a bit to get us out of Afghanistan, to follow up on his campaign promise. But that's not the worst one.
He was president. We were still find ourselves in a position where you had a notion that we were this safe country. The truth is, I'm the only president this century that doesn't have any, this decade, that doesn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world like he did.
Put aside the gaffe on century or decade. Ignore the Biden evidence that he's unfit for office and just look at the claim. No military deaths. John, you pay attention to things.
Yes.
In Afghanistan, when we withdrew, was that a clean, clear withdrawal and nobody died?
No, that wasn't.
We had a massive terror attack at the outside of the perimeter of the airport, and 13 mm-hmm. troops died, yeah?
Yeah.
In Jordan, just this year, you had 3 troops die. But the fact that he's claiming nobody died? Even CBS put up a post that just said, Joe Biden claimed this, and it's totally false. So, what do you mean? Oh, and I get Trump lied. I get it. He lied about, you know, everybody wanted to get rid of Roe versus Wade. Come on, man. I mean, this is the most absurd thing, right?
And if you look at this whole question that you're asking, a complex but not really complex. 51 years ago, you had Roe v. Wade, and everybody wanted to get it back to the states. Everybody, without exception. Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives. Everybody wanted it back. Religious leaders.
Oh, my God. Sir, stop. Shush. Don't say idiotic things. Does he really believe that? Does he know it's a lie? Again, okay, which I suppose you could say for Biden. Does he know anything? Can he be capable of a lie? Because you'd have to know something to be capable of a lie. You'd have to know it's false. Okay, true. Yeah, that was a lie. Trump lied. Biden also lied. A lot.
If you take a look at what Trump did in Ukraine, this guy told Ukraine, told Trump, do whatever you want and do whatever you want. And that's exactly what Trump did to Putin, encourage him, do whatever you want. And he went in.
What he said was, when asked if NATO members don't pay their dues, is that if then they don't pay their dues, then Putin can do whatever he wants to them because he's not going to protect them because they're, it's not really dues, it's paying a share of your GDP for military expenditures, right? If they don't pay, if they don't invest in military, why should we bother protecting them? That's what he said about NATO members. Ukraine's not a NATO member, in case you hadn't checked. So he keeps telling this lie again and again. And people are always upset about how, you know, Dana Bash and Jake Tapper didn't fact check. They didn't fact check Biden either. The many things that he said that were just completely false.
There was no inflation when I became president. You know why? The economy was flat on its back. 15% unemployment. He decimated the economy, absolutely decimated the economy. That's why there was no inflation at the time. There were no jobs.
No. I mean, yes, there was no inflation. It's nice for you to admit that. And there has been a lot under your presidency. But there wasn't 15% unemployment when you took office. We've already been over this. I mean, are we going to blame people for the very worst thing that happened during their presidency? Like when Biden had, you know, what was it, 8% year over year inflation at one time? It's now down substantially, down to, I think it's under 3. So that's good. Give him credit where credit is due. It's down from what it was. But so this business about Trump lied and Biden was up there as some paragon of truth telling is, it's amazing that that lie keeps getting perpetuated. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, guys. Do you want male performance in the bedroom and do you want it now? Get it in 47 seconds or less. For the first time, you can have instant male enhancement. Introducing Knox 47, the topical male enhancement that works in 47 seconds or less. Satisfaction guaranteed. Finally, after years of scientific research, our proprietary formula will allow you to perform in the bedroom like never before. Just imagine that little blue pill on steroids. No reason to settle and wait when you can get instant performance now. Forget about pills and potions that make you wait hours or up to 30 days to work. That's yesterday's news. Knox 47 is brand new. The hottest thing for men. And you don't need a prescription. Call now and get your free supply for a limited time.
To find out how to get Knox 47 for free, call now. 800-617-1621. That's 800-617-1621. Free bottles for a limited time. Call 800-617-1621. That's 800-617-1621.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Three Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
My father taught me many things here. He taught me in this room. He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Good morning, 529 News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne, who I have not seen in a week.
I know, it's been so long, and I hope you had a great vacation.
I did. What's going on in the newsroom, sir?
Well, Maryland Governor Wes Moore tells CBS's Face the Nation that he is not seeking the Democratic nomination for president. He said Joe Biden is not going to take himself out of the race, and says that he also believes that he shouldn't. The New York Police Department says they're going to begin recording the apparent race, gender, and ages of people that police stop for questioning under a new law that takes effect today. It's called the How Many Stops Act that was passed earlier this year in New York after the city council overrode a veto from their mayor, Eric Adams. And former Miss Universe Olivia Culpo and San Francisco 49ers star Christian McCaffrey apparently have gotten married. They tied the knot on Saturday in Rhode Island.
Well, good for them. I mean, you know, good for them. I don't have anything else. Sounds like a good story. David, thanks
very
so much
happy.
For the update. We are expecting a ruling today from the Supreme Court. God, the dump of rulings over the last 5 days is just ridiculous. But they're going to rule on whether Trump is immune from prosecution. That's going to be a 9-0. He's not immune, by the way.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden's at Camp David in Maryland, wrapping up some family time where family members have reportedly told him to stay in the race and get past concerns about his bad debate performance. Georgia Senate Democrat Raphael Warnock tells NBC's Meet the Press he agrees.
And it's our assignment to make sure that he gets over the finish line come November, not for his sake, but for the country's sake.
Ohio Senate Republican J.D. Vance says he's not worried about one debate performance.
I'm worried about what did these guys look like in the world stage. What do they look like in private meetings with world leaders?
He's on Fox News Sunday. A Supreme Court opinion on former President Trump's immunity from prosecutions coming this morning.
During arguments in April, the court appeared skeptical of embracing Trump's proclamation of absolute immunity, but some justices seemed open to granting some level of protection for former presidents.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. There's another case about social media content moderation. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, and right now we do have partly cloudy skies, 77 degrees this morning. There was a standoff last night in Walnut Hill. The Escambia Sheriff's Office had multiple units, including a SWAT team, responding to a home on Highway 97. Last night, deputies said the man was refusing to leave that home. The sheriff's office said it all began when they received a tip that a man there had several warrants out of Alabama. There's no word on what those warrants are for. Highway 97, though, was closed last night. Traffic was being rerouted onto 99A. Right now, we do not have an update on that situation, but we will let you know as soon as we learn more. An Uber driver was killed, two Navy sailors seriously injured after a crash over the weekend. Three men were in a vehicle on Gulf Beach Highway. On Saturday morning, when another vehicle then ran the red light at Navy Boulevard and crashed into them. The Uber driver was pronounced dead at the scene. Both sailors were taken to the hospital by ambulance as trauma patients. The driver of the other vehicle was also taken to the hospital with serious injuries, and the Florida Highway Patrol is investigating that. Well, Valerie's House celebrated a big anniversary last week, 3 years of helping grieving children and families in Pensacola.
And we have now grown in just 3 years to serving close to 350 families and children and their caregivers. So about 70% of that number are kids. So you know, way over almost 270 kids who are coming to us and found us to get healing, but most importantly, to connect with other kids who know what they're going through.
And that is Director Krista Brandt. The organization held an open house last week. They were also showing off a newly redone backyard, and that was a project completed by the 2024 Pensacola Leadership Class. There is still some work to be done on that on a paver patio, though. They're looking to raise some funds for that. The organization inviting people to purchase pavers to help complete the project. For more information on Valerie's House or how you can help, check out valerieshouse.com/Pensacola. Some new laws take effect all across the state today. One of those is an increase in penalties for people that get caught drag racing. The fine's doubling from $1 to $2,000.
And also, they can have their driver's license suspended from 2 to 4 years.
And that's police officer Michael Varga. He says second offenses within a year could also mean a felony charge and a $4,000 fine. Several other laws also going into effect today, including cutting protections for outdoor workers, no more balloon releases across the state, free swimming lessons, and Floridians can also now shoot bears if their life is in danger. It is 534 News Radio Pensacola, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. 50% chance of rain overall. Highs near 96 degrees this afternoon. Lows overnight near 79. For Tuesday, more scattered showers and thunderstorms through the afternoon. 60% chance of rain. High near 91. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 77 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Your next news at 6. And breaking news anytime, I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Justice Department has presented Boeing with a plea deal after it accused the company of violating the terms of a 2021 prosecution agreement that was put in place following two 737 MAX crashes. The federal agency told Boeing it could plead guilty or go to trial. The agreement would have the company plead guilty to the conspiracy charge it originally faced 3 years ago. In exchange, Boeing would pay a fine and enter a 3-year probationary period. Business owners have found that offering summer hours, a reduced schedule on Fridays between Memorial Day and Labor Day, can be a way to boost employee morale. Workers can deal with summer childcare gaps, return to the office refreshed, and feel like their job values them. Reduced hours in the summer months can also enable smaller businesses to stand out against massive companies in a competitive talent marketplace. Futures are slightly higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 94, the NASDAQ up 51, and the S&P 500 up 15. That's Your Money Now.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 and Pensacola State College is proud to air the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra's Symphony Sparks and Stars, Thursday, July 4th. Heard live at the Hunter Amphitheater at Community Maritime Park. This free outdoor concert presented by Peter Mugier will honor the United States Armed Forces and feature a mix of patriotic music and popular favorites. The symphony starts at 7:30 and ends at 9 with the 4th of July fireworks and can be heard on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Let's go, move out. You're Marines now. You improvise, you adapt, you overcome.
Let me see your war face! Sir, you got a war face? Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face! Ah! You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face! Ah! You don't scare me. Work on it.
We follow orders, son. We follow orders or people die. It's that simple. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Are we clear?
Crystal.
We're looking for a few good men with a medal to be Marines.
You know, that was actually, may have been the first exposure that I really had to Paint It Black, was the end credits of Full Metal Jacket. And that's a pretty good time to, that's a pretty perfect pick of music. So yeah, Taylor, the opening a little bit to the Marines, who we had a chance to talk to right before I went on vacation. So joining us, we had, this is our Meet Your Tenant Commands segment, where I'm trying to kind of give the folks who run the military operations in our local area, Escambia, Santa Rosa County, a chance to talk to you about what they do and why it's important. So you may have heard terms like MATSEG and not known what it is. That's why we had United States Marine Colonel Aaron, call sign Chet Brunk, on with us. And MATSEG 21, he is the commanding officer of. And Colonel Brunk, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I got to ask, I tweaked it up a little bit for the Marines. Did I do okay? Did I put a smile on your face?
It did. I had a smile. I do have a smile. I currently have a smile, so I'm still smiling.
Very, very good. So let's start with super basic things. What is a MATSEG? What does it stand for? And then we'll get to what you do, because it's a big, complicated answer. But go ahead, sir.
Okay, so a MATSEG is a Marine Aviation Training Support Group. And so there are three located on this base. There's 21, which is my command, and then 23. And then we also have a reserve, MATSEG 42, who's in charge of the reserves in the area. But those are the three that are here on this base at NES Pensacola.
And what you do is, best as I understand it, and you and I have talked several times off the air, and it was a long road for me to grasp the concept, is you are the coordinating command for all of the elements under your responsibility, so that Marines get the training they need, which is provided by the Navy training components, so that you produce pilots and rescue swimmers and explosives ordnance demolition and cyber. Did I get it right?
Yeah, so I have cyber command, so all the Marines that are here at Corey Station in Warrington, they fall underneath me, so, and after that, they go to Fort Eisenhower, which is in Augusta, Georgia, to finish out their training, and they're still underneath us. And then EOD, so Explosive Ordnance Disposal, that is in Eglin, so that's ran by the Air Force. And then Dive School for our MARSOC guys and our Force Reconnaissance guys that go to Combat Dive School, that's in Panama City.
What's a MARSOC?
And then also,
what's MARSOC?
A MARSOC is Marine Special Operations.
Perfect.
So, that's what that stands for.
Combat divers,
so,
right?
Then also, yep, combat divers. So, they wear scuba gear, they go underwater, they sneak into places and sneak out of places. So that's how we do insertion and extraction through underwater.
Got it.
And then also all of the Marine aviation instructors, so the ones who are the instructors in the T-6 and up at Whiting Field and the helicopters up at Whiting Field, all those Marines, even though they work for day-to-day training Wing 5, we support them. And all the students come to us through MATSEG 21, then you go to ground school, do the Navy, and then they go to primary and advanced, where that's helicopters, V-22s, jets, et cetera.
So it might help to maybe back up for a second and just to make sure, because even for me, I was learning and talking with you about all of this, that the Marines as an entity, you know, every Marine is a Marine, and that means in some sense that you are a generalist, you are a fighter. Everybody goes through either the basic school if you're an officer for 6 months and then officer candidate school, or if you're enlisted, boot camp for 12 weeks and then combat training and a variety of things. But Marines are generalists, and it's like the military, which has the Air Force and the Navy and the Army and the Coast Guard. The Marines are like all of that, but a much smaller, compact size. And so every Marine is going to do a variety of different things. And it doesn't make sense for you to have separate training just for your guys who do EOD. Since Eglin does this, let's partner with them. It doesn't make sense to have your guys learn rotors. Whiting does this. Let's use them to train our Marines. And so across the board, the different specialties and different elements of your command, because the Marines need all these different things, it makes more sense for the kind of the assembly line, so to speak, of the Navy or the Air Force to do those trainings, and you partner with them to partake in that. Do I basically have it right?
Yes, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Is we're super tiny. We don't have a lot of money as far as the service goes, and so it makes sense for us to just strap on to everybody else's training. So, and that's all mostly like entry level, but then after we get to the Fleet Marine Force, that's where we get more specialized training. For instance, if like I'm a helicopter guy, so went through Naval Aviation School here, became a winged aviator out of Whiting. And then when we go to the fleet, we learn how to fly. I flew a Cobra. So that's where we go. The Marine Corps then teaches us how to fly the Cobra and use the Cobra as a weapon system.
And so, and then, but after that, and this is what I think is so interesting about the Marine Corps is you did, I think you did 8 years as a pilot, a Cobra pilot, but then you came back to Whiting as a trainer on the Cobra, or not on the Cobra, but for rotors for the pilots there, right? And a helicopter trainer at Whiting?
Yeah. So spent about 8 years flying Cobras. Also was at Marine Special Operations and another thing called Anglico. So a lot of ground time, but then I came back as the CO of one of the squadrons up at Whiting, which was HD-18, and spent about 4 years doing that, and then left again and go back to the Marine Corps, and then I'm a fires guy for a MEF, so out in Okinawa, Japan, so called fires and effects coordinator. So throughout your career, especially the older you get, the more generalized you become and less specialized in the trade that you were originally. Like, for instance, I was a Cobra pilot before, but you do less than that as you get older.
And so,
but as we say in the Marines, every Marine's a rifleman. So that's why we have the training for boot camp for 12 weeks. And that's why all the officers go to the basic school for 6 months.
And then the thing that it's just, again, trying to get my mind wrapped around it is, like in the Navy, you're an officer, you go through the pilot training pipeline, you become a pilot, you go fly Hornets, or well, Super Hornets these days in the Navy. You're a pilot for all of your career, maybe unless you progress upwards to becoming a commanding officer. You might get a gig like commanding NES Pensacola. You might eventually promote to admiral or whatever, but you're a pilot. Maybe later on you become a supervisor, basically, in the Navy. But if you're a Marine officer, you are, you're a Marine, and then, all kinds of combat, and then you do 8 years as a Cobra, and then you do some other stuff, and then you come back and train pilots for 4 years, and then you do some other stuff, and you're not a pilot only, you're a Marine with wings, right?
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
And which is it's a little bit of a mind shift for people to understand. That's why I wanted to ask you, because it took me a little while to grasp it. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Marine Colonel Aaron Chet Brunk, call sign Chet. He is a commanding officer of MATSIG 21 on board NAS Pensacola. Let's get traffic on the fives here with John Pickens.
That's right. Just got a text in about an accident involving a motorcycle and SUV on Wild Lake Road at the turn of Hardee's. I'll get you more information on that as it becomes available. Also, still dealing with the accident on Pine Forest and Goodwin Lane. That's where Mobile Highway and Pine Forest basically intersect, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to United States Marine Corps Colonel Aaron Chet Brunk. Colonel, maybe this will help people to understand kind of the presence locally. How many Marines do you have in your command stationed on board NAS Pensacola for MATSIG 21?
We have about a total of 1,400 to 1,500 in any given time, and that's from Panama City over here. And most half of those are going to be your student naval aviators and your instructor pilots.
And then how many train through your command over the course of, say, a year?
So the pilots, some around 300, go through for cyber. Probably a couple of hundred. You're talking at any one time at Corey Station, we probably have like 300, sometimes as high as 400 Marines that are going through cyber school.
Mm-hmm.
If that kind of gives you an idea.
Several. It does. And that's the main component of what you do is the pilot preparation for the Marines and the rotor training for the Marines and the instructor pilots that are Marine pilots that go and train Navy and Marine pilots at Whiting Field, right?
Right. And so I'm the guy who picks where they go fly. So, you know, when they graduate from the T6, I'm the guy who tells them that they're going rotors or jets or whatever, saying when they go rotors.
Okay.
I'm the guy who says you're going Cobras or Hueys or 53s.
And so you're in charge of the selection, or, you know, giving them the good news or the bad news, right? Although it's all good news if they're flying,
that's
but, you
correct.
Know.
That's correct. So I'm the guy who gets, you know, blame me if you didn't get what you want.
And one of the other kind of maybe unique things is that in the Navy, you kind of train for a platform. You know, you're producing a platform pilot, but the way the Navy uses those platforms, you know, like the F-18 or the F-35, is different from how the Marine Corps uses those platforms. You guys tend to fly everything kind of in conjunction. It's a combined forces, combined platforms. And so even though they're learning the naval aviator process, you're still always having to make sure that they stay as Marines because the Marine mission is different from the Navy mission, right?
Correct. So when we most deploy, we deploy in what's called a MEU, M-E-U, Marine Expeditionary Unit. So it's out and on the ships, and they're kind of like little carriers. And on that carrier is going to be your F-35s, your 53s, your Hueys, your Cobras, and the whole package is called an ACE, Air Combat Element. And we all fly together. So it's a lot, it's different than if you're a Navy person and maybe you're flying a Sierra 60 or a Romeo 60. When we go in all together. So the grunts are on board, the infantry is on board, the helicopters, and if we're going to go, you know, in to assault something, then you got the Cobras and that are protecting the package, and you got the F-35s that are overhead. So it's combined arms is what we call it.
And in terms of like the overall relationship with kind of like the naval aviator community, how many naval aviators have like ever been made? And then how many of them Marines have been made? Just so people get a sense of the relationship between the size of the force.
Yeah. So I think we're about up to 37,000 unrestricted naval aviators at Whiting Field that have graduated as helicopter pilots. That's unrestricted naval aviator, meaning that you fly the airplane and you can fly helicopters.
Okay. That's and over so the last like 100 years.
Know,
like,
100,
that's like total in time, right?
That's correct. That's right. So when you think about it, you know, there's probably about that many cops in New York right now. And, you know, and you think about how small that number is over the last 100 years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a small group that get winged out of Whiting Field. It's pretty interesting. And it's a small community. And you understand that as you get older and older and you look around and, you know everybody, right? And you're friends with everybody because it's a small community.
And the Marines are a much smaller number than even that 37,000 over the last century, right?
That's correct. And I don't know that number off the top of my head, but it would probably be a third-ish because that's about what we produce.
Okay.
Out of Whiting Field, it's about a third of our Marines.
And so if your mission, MATSIG 21, on board AS Pensacola, doesn't happen, some kind of a breakdown, the implications of that breakdown are across all of these different sectors of Marine Corps training, from cyber to explosives ordnance demolition to combat divers to rotor pilots and even non-rotor pilots, right? Like all of that is something that's affected, right?
Yes, and we're really a small headquarters unit that's stationed here that, you know, take care of all those Marines across the Gulf Coast.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you. And I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So our Marines are responsible for, you know, making everybody gets paid, making sure, you know, the money flows to the right places when we get it from higher. So we own the budget for all those places. We own all the personnel administrative type stuff for those places. And then we also, in coordination with those schoolhouses, you know, for instance, if we want a change in the curriculum, that's kind of what we work through. And then they'll say like, well, we need two more instructors. And so we work that through the Marine Corps to get two instructors to then get what we want. So it's a lot of, you know, playing nice and being liaisons and being good neighbors with the people who support us with their facilities and their training.
Absolutely. Last question for you, sir. Chet is your call sign. The only Chet of any reference I can think of is in the movie Weird Science. Is that how you got your nickname,
That's
or is
correct.
There some other reason?
That's correct. So the big brother in Weird Science. I was a little bit mean to the younger lieutenants when I was growing up. So
all right,
well, that's what they said. They said I'm, you know,
the classic Bill Paxton role. So all right, very good. So I've learned what I need to know. United States Marine Corps Colonel Aaron Chet Brunk. He is the commanding officer of MATSIG 21 onboard NAS Pensacola. Colonel, thank you for the time. Thanks for training the Marines. Thanks for helping us civilians understand. I mean, you know, 1,000 people, 1,500 people, you know, that you shape their lives and oversee them. And until today, most people probably had never heard of it. And that's why I wanted to do this series. So thank you so much for the time and your service. Great to meet you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Yes, 5:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. By the way, yesterday I put up an index page on our newsradio923.com website so that all of the interviews, that's week six, we've done six of these so far, all of them over the course of time will be indexed there so that you can go back and listen to them at your discretion if you've missed one or something like that. I know people have been asking me about that. You can find the specific link up on our Facebook page and, you know, do with that whatever you will. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, trying to decide what to do, if now is the time, if waiting is the time, if you missed your opportunity, you know, whatever it is, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they are just fantastic at this. They will help you understand, you're not just, you know, the in general, what the market is doing, is it up or down, but what it is really doing in your area, in your neighborhood, in your price range, right? Because, you know, it could be that even in the same exact neighborhood, you could have, or the same sort of like zip code, for example, you could have homes in the, say, $400,000 range are going up in value, but homes in the $600,000 range are coming down in value. It's possible. And I don't know what that might be. Obviously, that's not my job. That's her job. And they're really, really good at this. They sold 175 homes last year. She's only been doing this for about 7 years and just fantastic at it. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes or in front, you belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
Marcus Point Baptist Church is excited to present the 2024 Sportsman's Night Out. Join us as we hear from Rick Burgess of the Rick and Bubba Show and Hall of Fame fishing legend Hank Parker. It all happens at the Pensacola Bay Center on August 8th at 6:30 p.m. You could win amazing prizes like a new camper from Carpenter's Campers, a Kubota side-by-side from Coastal Machinery Company, and even more from sponsors like Builders First Source and Florida Air Conditioning and Heating. Tickets are only $10 and on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Get yours before they're gone.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
He's dead.
Don't say that. Never say that. Goonies never say die.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Two trailer park girls. So when I left, the big drama was going to be over Bruce Childers suing the supervisor of elections to try to get reinstated to the ballot that Robert Bender had. Robert Bender's office had disqualified his opponent from running. And now Judge Fredrichovich, she is a very good judge. She has heard the case on Friday, and she has ruled that there's no grounds for her to reinstate Bruce, that essentially, you know, the mistakes that were made by him, and that it's not... As up to the supervisor of elections office to fix those mistakes, and there was some conflicting testimony and the evidence and the video that they had. So we're done. It's all over. But the shouting. I'm sure they'll still be shouting over this. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headline. David?
Yeah, a Mobile woman has qualified for 3 Olympic Games.
Outstanding.
Yeah, we'll have more on that in a little bit. 92.